Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, welcome, everyone. We have made it past the joint statistical meetings, which were exceptional. So we are delighted to kick off the fall with two guests, Annie and Hannah, who are taking the lead in reinvigorating statistics in the community, or STATCOM, which has the tagline service in action. So Ron and I are excited to talk with them about their STATCOM experiences and what they vision for the future. And we will start out by asking them both to introduce themselves. And often I say to guests to tell us about their day job. So Hannah, let's start with you.
Oh, fantastic. Hi, everyone. I'm Hannah. My day job is a PhD student. I'm entering my fourth year in the program at University of Michigan in the biostatistics department. And I am a co-president of STATCOM at University of Michigan, along with Annie, who is also on this podcast. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. Hannah, do you have a project that you're focused on for your PhD work?
Yes, I work with Dr. Kelly Kidwell. We work in SMART designs, sequential multiple assignment randomized trials, and we are investigating zero inflated methods in longitudinal count settings and seeing if we can figure out a way to put that in the SMART setting because it hasn't really been done a whole lot yet.
That's great. And I can't think of a better advisor than Kelly. So what a great collaboration that is. And Annie, well, over to you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us. My name's Annie. I'm a second year PhD student in survey methodology and data science at the University of Michigan. I did my master's in biostatistics with Hannah, and I'm also a co-president of Statistics in the Community. My current research focuses on integrating complex survey data into Bayesian statistical analyses. There aren't a ton of new methods, so it's really exciting.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you both being here, and we greatly appreciate your interest in STATCOM. So Hannah, I think we will start with you. And so can you just tell us a little bit about STATCOM? What are the goals? A little bit about its history?
Yeah, definitely. So STATCOM, or Statistics in the Community, is a really cool program where students can get involved in volunteering and outreach by using their statistical services in the surrounding community. So we provide anything in the statistical process, we say, except for data collection. So that can be creating plots and visualizations. It can be analyzing data. It can be a whole bunch of different things, and whatever these nonprofits in the community might need from us. And so it's a great way for students to not only get hands-on experience with real-life messy data, but also it's a way to really see impact in the community around you, which is really, really valuable, I think. And specifically at Michigan, STATCOM was founded in 2006, and we've been going strong since then, which is really exciting. It started off in the biostatistics department, and we're lucky in that we have a lot of students to keep it going throughout the years. But it started across a couple of different universities, and we're hoping to continue that connection across universities, since it seems, you know, it's hard to keep something going when it's student-led if there's a lot of turnover with students. But yeah, we're really focused on, for goals, focusing on that outreach in that day-to-day project side, as well as the side of connecting with other universities and getting started other chapters at other places.
Thanks, Hannah. Annie, so in the midst of all that you're doing as a student, getting started on your projects, taking exams, et cetera, what inspired you to take on the challenge of reinvigorating STATCOM?
We were actually lucky enough to kind of step into this role following a really excellent leadership team that was headed by Steven Salerno. He really developed the program into what it is today, and we have been lucky enough to follow in his footsteps. But for me, I think having this tie to community partners and being able to apply what we're learning in the classroom to real world data scenarios and help community partners that maybe don't have the resources or experience to run these analyses themselves has been really valuable. And being able to gather more students for this cause has been really important for my graduate experience.
speaking of the graduate experience, we know that it is very busy. And so I suspect that one of the questions we'll hear from students that might be interested in starting a chapter at their university is, what's the time commitment? How do you balance the demands of StatCom projects versus your graduate study? So I'd like to hear from both of you how you navigate that space, that balancing act.
Yeah, that is a really great question because, to your point, Donna, there's a lot of moving parts in grad school. But I think from a project perspective, StatCom really isn't overwhelmingly a large time commitment. I think we advertise it as 1 to 5 hours a week, and it really does fluctuate depending on where on the project timeline you might be. You know, if you're wrapping up a deliverable for a client, it might be more time commitment at that week, maybe than one earlier on. So from a project standpoint, it's very manageable. And I would also say, personally for me, the thing that motivates me to find time for it is really that community connection component. Part of the reason that I got into biostatistics in the first place is that I was really struggling to find a place where math and people align. And this is, I think, a really concrete way for me that that comes together. And it's a way to keep finding time for it in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, I think to add to that, from the leadership team standpoint, so for people who are interested in kind of working on reinvigorating a StatCom at their institution and being part of that leadership team, I haven't found it to be a really big commitment in a time sense. We think a lot about how to sustain the organization, and we're kind of always planning for the next semester and thinking about the future for the organization. But day to day, the time commitment isn't extreme. And it really does feel like a valuable way to spend time outside of the classroom.
And something I'll add to that too is that one thing that makes the leadership lift less heavy is having several people involved. And that not only helps with how much time you spend yourself, but also helps with that turnover component that we talked about. So knowing that when you leave, it's not all going to fall apart is reassuring because you have a lot of people around you who are sharing that load as well.
Right. When you put the kind of time into something like this, you'd like it to live beyond your tenure there at the university. So that's really great. So I want to ask each of you to share an example of a project you've worked on. And Annie, let's have you go first this time.
Yeah, I can actually talk about a project that I'm currently working on. So, and I've seen this kind of need across a couple different organizations, a need for data, especially surrounding children's education in Detroit and kind of neighborhood specific level of data. We've spoken with multiple community partners that have been looking for this kind of data. And I'm currently leading a project with a couple students. We are developing a dashboard, a shiny dashboard, to display publicly available data and data that we've had to kind of pull from different sources that's at the zip code level for the Detroit area based on different variables that the community partner has established that community members are interested in obtaining this kind of data. So different education variables and things that are important and valuable to the community themselves. So we're currently in the process of developing this shiny app that will be displayed on a website so that people, families in Detroit can look at the data for their zip code and surrounding zip codes based on education and other markers of life experience. So that has been a really interesting project for me and exciting because it seems very useful for both the organization that we're working with to assess their own programming within these communities, as well as allowing for Detroiters to view this data and gain their own insights from it.
Thanks. So Hannah, how about you?
So one project that I worked on last year was with the Ann Arbor Hands-On Museum and Leslie Science Center. And that project was especially cool from the perspective of who the community partner was for me, because we say local, but we don't always mean Ann Arbor local. Sometimes it goes into, you know, Northern Ohio or into Chicago. So it was very cool. It was a place I walked by every day when I walked campus. So we partnered with them to figure out from their data that they collected how they are able to serve the community and who they're serving and how they can best improve those services. So for example, the Ann Arbor Hands-On Museum, a lot of their programming is for younger children. they do school trips, or they do, you know, families will come in on the weekends, things like this. And so they tried to figure out, okay, what kinds of age groups are we serving? What kinds of programs are most effective? And also, how can we continue to serve our community in a way where we can continue to connect the membership to something that they see value in? So for example, one thing we looked at is there is a reciprocity program where if you have a membership at some Chicago museum, for example, you can get into the Hands-On Museum for a discount. So they were trying to figure out if those partnerships are things that would be helpful to the community, or what kinds of quality measures can they do? Like, is there a certain capacity that's maybe something they need to spread out over time based on what visit times people come in, how much time people spend in the museum? And so we put all that together for them to figure out how to best proceed in the next couple of years, the way they market their membership and how they serve the community.
Well, those are very cool. I'm very jealous. I want to join you in both of those. That's exciting. We've talked about some of the benefits, the extrinsic benefits to students and the organizations. There's a particular problem and you all help solve that problem. Tell me a little bit about the intrinsic benefits, right? Have you made new friends? Do you have success stories where it's a project has turned into a job? And then it also occurs to me that you should tell us a little bit about the students who are a part of StatCom, because both of you are graduate students, but can undergraduates participate, for example? So Hannah, I'll start with you. What are some of the intrinsic things you've gained or other students have gained from participating?
So one thing I think that's really neat about StatCom is that it is something that students participate in across departments. I think it's really easy to get stuck in the department you're in and only surround yourself with those people. And those people may be great, but sometimes the diversity of perspectives can be really healthy and really eye-opening for lots of reasons. So that's one thing I really like about StatCom. We cross so many different departments, where we include a bunch of departments from the School of Public Health, like biostatistics, epidemiology, health behavior, health education, for example, but also outside of the School of Public Health, like statistics, bioinformatics, survey methodology. So it is a really neat way from a networking and social perspective to meet other people in other departments and collaborate with them and see what other people are working on. And also in terms of skills students learn, in addition to just the, like we've mentioned, working with messy real world data, it's also really valuable to have experiences where you are communicating with a client who may not have the statistical expertise that you do. So not only from a collaboration standpoint, but from a communication standpoint, I think there's a lot of skills to benefit when you're on a StatCom team in, yes, you can analyze the data, which is great, but also can you talk about what it means with somebody who doesn't have that background?
That's great, Annie. What are some things that you've taken away or that you know from your colleagues that they've taken away from participating in StatCom?
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Hannah said. I think also it's really valuable to hear from community partners in the way that we have this statistical expertise, but they might have a more substantial expertise in some other area. And having that balance and learning from partners in that way can be really, really valuable and create a perspective that we don't always get from the graduate programs that we're a part of. Another thing, as a leadership team, we try to create student groups for the projects, these teams that have a balance of students from different departments as well as different class levels. So we usually cut off undergraduates, so we focus on graduate students and creating opportunities for graduate students. We still try to have a variety of senior PhD students as well as first year master's students, a good mixture so that the older students can have this opportunity to practice leadership skills and lead these projects, and the younger students can learn from their leadership techniques as well as just learning those practical skills. So I think it's a really wonderful exchange and opportunity for students to become leaders within these projects as well. That's one of the big takeaways that I've found.
It's hard to oversell the value of these skills that you are learning and that you're helping people learn through this program. They are not things that are necessarily intrinsic, and they aren't things that come up in the ordinary classroom experience. So this is really valuable from that standpoint, because it's all you're going to do when you are a practicing statistician. You will have interactions with clients and collaborators, and yes, you'll come loaded with technical skills that aren't nearly as valuable if you can't figure out how to communicate with the people you work with. So congratulations on your involvement with this and all the ways that you're helping yourselves and others. I want to ask you now about your long-term vision for the program. You've mentioned you do thinking and planning about that. And also how, maybe this is the most important question for our listeners, is how they can be involved. So Annie, how about we start with you?
Our main vision is to sustain our own organization within the University of Michigan and pass on the leadership down and make sure that we can sustain our own program while also spreading the momentum to other institutions and uplifting them in whatever ways that we can. So one of those ways, we plan on hosting a webinar, and the webinar will be kind of a StatCom 101 where interested students and even faculty at other institutions can join to learn about how to get started. And if they have an existing StatCom organization at their institution, kind of how to sustain that and keep the momentum going between years and across turnover.
Yeah, just to echo that, I think to Annie's point earlier on, we really did step into some big shoes. Stephen Salerno really paved the way for our program. He made it so comfortable that we felt that we could extend support to other departments and other programs, which I think is really special. And that's saying a lot to all of the amazing work that he did before this. And so, yeah, the StatCom webinar is a good one to watch out for. And then we've also been attending conferences and tabling, like we've tabled at ENAR the past 2 years, and we're planning to go back to ENAR. So there's lots of ways you can get involved and talk to us. And even if you just want to hear a little bit more about what we do, we'd be happy to talk to you about that, because in case you couldn't tell, Annie and I really like this stuff. And we really are passionate about getting involved and combining that community service idea with things that we might be prepared to offer.
Well, your passion is contagious. So Ron and I are ready to help. So one thing that we can contribute is, in the podcast synopsis, in addition to email, we'll put a form that people can share their email and contact information. So we'll keep them up to date on the fall webinar, which would be fun. If you've listened to Practical Significance, you know that we have a tradition of ending by asking our guests to share something that they're reading, listening to, watching. We had a guest who was really into video games, and so Brian shared what he was playing. So any and all of the above. And Annie, I'll start with you.
I love that tradition. I just picked up 2 books from the library, actually, that I'm excited to read and hoping to make some progress on before the semester begins. Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange is one of them. And then The People in the Trees by Anya Yanagihara is the other.
Yeah, The Wandering Stars is on my list as well. So maybe we'll be able to compare notes. Hannah, how about you?
I actually have been, in the last, I don't know, couple months, I've been very into the podcast Armchair Anonymous, Armchair Expert, I guess. Armchair Anonymous is like chapter of it, I guess, that I really enjoyed. It's with Dax Shepard and Monica. Oh, I can't think of her last name, but it's super funny. There's a prompt and listeners call in with stories about said prompt. And it's just really fun and light. I started actually when I was prepping for my qualifying exam, and I was like, I need something that's light and entertaining. I can turn my brain off. So that's been my listening lately. And then I also, on the same vein of like light and recovering from quals, I recently read Press of the Emerald Sea by Brandon Sanderson. And that was a really fun fantasy story that was very whimsical, but still had very adult themes. Like, it was really masterfully woven. So I really enjoyed that one.
That's great. Thank you so much. And Ron, it goes down on the record that listening to podcasts makes for successful qualifying exams. So I expect to see an increase in listenership for Practical Significance. Thanks very much, Annie and Hannah. We really look forward to continuing to help support the StatCom reinvigoration. So we have another tradition that we always end with Ron's top 10. So I will turn it over to my colleague for a top 10.
Thank you, Donna. As often happens, JSM overlapped this year with the Summer Olympics. As we look back on those glorious Olympics, the Practical Significance podcast team realized there were lessons for JSM that could be learned from the Olympics. So here are the top 10 ways to improve JSM based on the Paris Olympics. Number 10, to begin with, Have JSM in Paris. Number 9, A-list celebrities seen and photographed at plenary sessions. Number 8, attendees dress in the colors of their home country. Number 7, speed sessions involve actual running. Number 6, award medals to the top 3 speakers in every session. But number 5, speakers are disqualified if they go over time or fail to get at least half of their slides shown. Number 4, ASA president rides to the stage on a motorcycle with Tom Cruise. Number 3, potential host cities bribe ASA officials. Wait, maybe that's not a good idea. Number 2, Simone Biles is the president's invited speaker. And the number 1 way to improve JSM based on the Paris Olympics? Snoop Dogg. Well, that's it for this episode of Practical Significance. We look forward to continuing the conversation next month.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.